Yo, episode 85 here.
Too many.
We're back. It's a new year.
First of 2018.
Yeah, we don't even have to say who we are anymore. You either know or...
Don't care.
Go look at the other 84 episodes and listen. So, yeah, we're starting it off strong. All right, Dante.
Some would say.
So how you want to kick off this this episode 85, Dante?
Yeah, we want to talk about our biggest surprises of 2017. Like what we really ended up liking, games we ended up liking, and then some not so great things of 2017. The game I liked a lot that came out of nowhere is Battle Chasers. It was an indie RPG, JRPG based on a comic. And it's like turn-based, really, really pretty animation, great music, and it just scratched that like old school JRPG itch that not a whole lot of games releasing lately do. So,
Is that on mobile or PlayStation 4? And are you scratching your mic on your beard or what?
I don't think so.
Yes, you are. Okay, just curious. There we go. That's a lot better. Dante's very hairy, and so am I. So I feel it.
My bad.
All right, Michael, what was yours?
Mine would be the good things that I found, like some of the indie or mobile games that I found were Star Wars Heroes, which Eddie and Alex turned me on to.
Oh, Galaxy of Heroes.
Galaxy Heroes, yeah, that's been great. I've been addicted to that. Also, South Park Phone Destroyer, pretty badass.
Yeah,
I'm having fun. It's kind of like the Stick of Truth and Fractured But Whole, but on mobile and with cards.
It's a card based battle.
It's a card based battle system. So okay. Yeah, it's pretty cool. But the story's good. There's lots of depth to it. You get free cards every day, like multiple times a day, and yeah, it's really fun and it's unique characters and things are being said. I'd say the not so good biggest surprises of 2017 is getting laid off work. So yeah, for like 6 months. So, but yeah, but that's why we're back and we're gonna be doing some fun stuff. And I have a lot of time dedicated towards playing games and talking about it.
Yeah.
God help us all. They just walked in and said, "You're fired." Surprise.
Surprise. No, it's more like
they sent him a cake.
Yeah, they're more like, "We really love you, so we're setting you free."
Be free, Michael.
Yes.
Be free.
Be free. That's what happens. So.
Eddie, what was your surprise game?
My surprise game was Fury. I'd never even heard of it. I probably came out in like 2015 or 16.
How do you spell it?
F-U-R-I.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with furry. It's Fury.
To clarify.
No, it's like a boss rush mode. It's like half bullet hell shooter, half like sword duel. It's insane.
And like an RPG type format, right?
No, it's not really RPG like. I mean, you can upgrade abilities and stuff to some extent, but. I'm just now getting into it. It was on Donkey's Top 10, and it just kind of like this looks like a game I need to try. And PlayStation Network has it on sale for like $6, so yeah, I had to pick it up. It's got a Hotline Miami like soundtrack
that's right,
unbelievable.
Yeah. It's really
it's
good
so
music.
Cool, and overall it's a great package. Had a lot of fun with it.
I'll put the link to the music in the thing so people can check it out.
It was free a while ago on PSN, so if you downloaded it and didn't try it, definitely try it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I can't. I recommend it.
It's beautiful. It's
beautiful. Yeah, I've only ever played it inebriated, and it was a lot of fun, but it kicks your ass.
It does. I played it sober and it kicked my ass.
Well, I mean, they say every boss fight is like a legit boss fight.
Yeah,
like it's,
and that's basically the whole game. It's a bunch of bosses. It's a string of, like, in a movie, you don't actually you know, kill 400 dudes to get to a main dude, and then, you know, like another, you know, unless you're John Wick. Yeah. But I mean, like,
you just walk in, you're like,
but it's like a series of duels with all these major characters that are trying to imprison you, or, and you're trying to fight for your freedom. It's just a really crazy game. Art style's amazing. Music soundtrack is killer. It's just, everything about it is really, really cool to me. So I can't wait to get back on that one. You guys are keeping me from it, like, right now.
Right this second.
Right fucking now. My biggest surprise was, the Battlefront backlash. Holy shit, that rolled downhill fast.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't believe it actually, like, it affected their sales. It affected EA's, like, quarter.
I'm proud of the gaming community for getting together and kind of boycotting it for as long as they did, because you could see photos of all the games just sitting on the shelves.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. How often does, like, shit like that happen, or, you know, like, a bad...
With EA, often.
Like, just, like, bad shit that
as a major collective company
does, and it never affects the bottom line. It always sells through the roof. And and this was, like... mainstream news, and also politically jarring.
Yeah,
like,
state governments are people were getting them away.
Yeah, because it's like, well, they said it tickled on the gambling thing. You know,
If you're getting on the Senate floor a la Mortal Kombat, you're doing something right or really wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Normally people sneak things into games that cause those type of, you know, issues, and, you know, but with this, people just, they were blatant. In the beginning, putting it in there, and people are like, you're not pulling the wool over our eyes on this one.
Yeah, and I mean, it started with people getting upset and angry about it, and then when EA made that Reddit post, the most downvoted Reddit post of all time, the whole sense of pride and accomplishment thing, everyone just put, everyone put their foot down, like,
nice
that's
try.
It.
That was like a nice try to justify, you know, the means of why you're doing that, but no. Yeah, does not fly with us.
They ended up
$4,000 later, or $5,000 later, or something, slash 4 years, like, or 3 years to get everything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, lots of people did the math of what it was actually going to take to get all this stuff, and it's like, you know.
It's like, no way.
Absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel bad for the hundreds upon hundreds of people that worked on that game. That had their artwork and hard work. Basically just thrown in the dumpster because of, you know, a really shitty thought process and money scheme. Like, it was terrible. It's terribly implemented.
It's what you call horrible user experience design.
Yeah, but like, they think, oh, it's Star Wars, people are going to play it anyway, so we can go ahead and tie this monetary shit to progression, and they won't fucking care.
I mean, you have to look to see how the bigger companies are doing it, like, in different ways, where it's not
Activision,
affecting...
Activision pulls the same shit. They got that patent for... They got that patent for how they do matchmaking, is that they try and match you with people who bought some crazy shit so that, like... you'll want to buy some crazy shit because this guy's got all the stuff.
And that's what causes rage, you know, quit, and, like, horrible...
Even skins and different weapons and all kinds of stuff. Like, they have an entire... Somebody found the patent for it sitting online, and they're like, whoa, we don't actually use this. Yeah, but you patented it, fuckers. Yeah, like, so, you're planning on it.
Yeah, or it's, like, an alternative, loop that they put in there that it's probably
doesn't
work.
Why would you come up with a system and patent it if you weren't going to put it in nothing?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, where's the the Jack Thompson-esque activist in this to like really make it?
Maybe one will rise from this whole scenario.
Where's that FCC guy?
drinking his coffee out of a giant Reese's cup, scumbag.
Fucking douchebag.
We get him on EA.
Okay, yeah.
He obviously knows how to preach to those assholes.
Right.
So, Eddie, what game's coming out in 2018 that you're really excited about? The guy's dressed in blue.
Mega Man.
Woo!
He's coming back. No, you know what? It's been a while, and I figured if they'd ever make another Mega Man game, they were just going to go the 8-bit route, because 9 and 10 were actually very successful for them.
I have that Aaliyah song
considering,
in my head.
Considering, like, you know, development cost, you know, like, they were doing 8-bit graphics. They just, you know, it was a... low effort would be the wrong word, because they were well done. They were very well designed, and they were, like, cheap, so they sold really well. So I figured if there was going to be a Mega Man 11, or a Mega Man X 9, whatever the hell they stopped it with that. Like, I figured it would just be of that caliber, but it looks like they're doing a 2D scale, but I mean, in, you know, 2.5D.
Yeah.
And the trailer looked really neat.
It looks really good.
Elements involved, for sure.
Yeah, it looks really good. What do you think, I wanted to ask you this, how much of the shittiness of Mighty No. 9 do you think had an impact on this? Like, do you think if Mighty No. 9 had been awesome and sold well, they wouldn't have done it? But now that Mighty No. 9 crashed and burned, they're like, okay, this is an untapped market. People want
they knew there was an appetite for it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. When they went through, and when Inafune still worked at Capcom, and he had three Mega Man games he was making. He was making like Legends 3, that Mega Man Universe, and like something else. And they just killed Mega Man in one fell swoop. They canceled all three projects, and that's what sent him packing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he shows up and he makes this awful game,
really awful.
And but I mean, Capcom could see that at least there was a big, you know, like it made a lot of like the Kickstarter did well, and there, so they knew there was a market for it.
So we've sacrificed Mighty No. 9 to get the real
thing.
Yeah, but
that wasn't even Capcom affiliated.
No, but
besides,
you know,
the main artist.
You know what's really sad though? I wanted Mighty No. 9 to do well. I really did. I didn't like. I was really unhappy when it. Although I dodged a bullet because I almost gave that fucking thing money. But I mean,
got it for $4 on PSN.
Yeah, see, I wasn't gonna spend money. But I mean, I was really hoping it would do well because it was you know, the man himself back in control, and he didn't have to answer to Capcom anymore. It was his own company, so I figured it would be great. Some of the concepts were good. I actually did like the dash mechanic and all that shit. But I mean, everything else was just garbage. It looked like a early PlayStation 2 game.
Yeah. I agree.
It was clunky, you know. But I mean, if it gets us the man himself, I'm happy. I'm very happy.
I just hope they don't over incorporate 3D into it. I hope that there's a lot of still hand drawn elements to it and like 2D elements
to
it.
Well, it's all 3D models. But if it behaves like a 2D Mega Man, just much, much prettier. It's running on Unreal 4, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Is that what they're... Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks great. Everything they're doing right now... I mean, I want to see more footage, but it looks really cool.
That props.
Fun Mega Man music that was in the trailer is unmistakably Mega Man-ish. It seems like they know what they're doing.
Out of nowhere, too. I mean, like, there was nothing. It just... It rose totally. From the grave like the fucking Undertaker. that was pretty nuts.
I want the game to open up with like, "It's been a long time. We shouldn't have left you."
Oh, don't.
But that was, I mean, like, dude, props to Capcom. Between Resident Evil and Mega Man, like, you gotta welcome back.
Yeah. For sure.
I am hoping to see that Resident Evil 2 announcement any day now. I guess on their official Twitter, a bunch of their social media accounts, all kinds of stuff. They've changed the Resident Evil logo.
Are they HDing it up, or are they redeveloping it?
No, what I assume is they're completely, because they're not just going to re-release 2 with that horrible control scheme.
That's what I was going to say.
It was cool when the game was new. That's just how the game was. But like, you go back and try and play it now, it does not do well. Like, it does not age well.
There's a lot of games that if we went back and played now, it would be bad. Like, we're spoiled now.
I mean,
actual cameras. I'm doing it right now.
But, so you're just like,
Sunshine.
How? Why?
Oh, man, that camera for Sunshine. Oh, God.
I will
it's
defend
maddening.
That camera.
It's maddening.
One of my favorite Mario games.
Yeah, it's a great game. The camera still sucks.
Yeah, fuck you.
Fuck you. Hey, I love Kingdom Hearts. The camera sucks in Kingdom Hearts. I love Mario Sunshine. The camera sucks in Mario Sunshine. Them's the breaks, all right? They didn't have patches back then.
Yeah,
when they remake Mario Sunshine, we'll get a good camera. And by the way, that game's over 15 years old now.
Oh, my God.
Mario Sunshine's over 15. It's like 15 and a half years old.
Damn.
Oh, my God.
Like, dude. You
just made us really sad.
Shit's crazy.
I just want to be alone right now.
Yeah, I know. It's all good. We'll all die early deaths. It's fine. So, yes. Do you guys want to have your sidebar for Destiny 2?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because you guys know that me and Eddie are huge Destiny fans, and we play it a lot.
I play it a lot.
Well, I used to play it a lot in Destiny 1. I have played a crap load of Destiny 2 as well, and we did all the raiding. I've done more raiding than you. So, yeah, raid. But anyways, let's talk about Eververse.
Well,
what is Eververse?
Eververse is the in-game store, the in-game marketplace or whatever, where you buy the
real
the,
money,
the engrams or loot boxes.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the height of this, you know, all this backlash stuff against EA and Battlefront, everyone just kind of immediately turned their ire on Activision and Bungie. And
well, Bungie was like, hey, we're not doing anything bad. It doesn't affect core gameplay and, you know.
Well, there was that whole, well, see, what everyone's upset about is because in Destiny 1, there were incredibly rare ships and pieces of armor and stuff that you could only get in certain high level end game activities. Mm-hmm. And it was for showing status. Off or like for yeah. status. Like, I mean, like you got that raid ship that's so rare. Like, how did you even get that to drop? It's like, because I, you know, I ground out that raid. I played that raid like 40 times or something like that, you know? So
it's like a 1% drop rate or something.
Right.
Like,
yeah. So I mean, it was crazy. So they had all these, you know, high status symbol and high level, like, you know, like raid armor and stuff that had special perks that you can't get anywhere else on any other piece of armor in the game.
Like usually helps you in the raid. Yeah.
And now it's like now all of this stuff, all of the ships, all of the your little companion, your ghost, like all the little shells, interchangeable shells, all of that shit is at the Eververse now.
And so emotes and
there's no end game. And so like Luke Smith, the previous director, so I'm pretty sure they let his ass go.
Yeah. I think they did.
Because when they came back from New Year's, they had Christopher Barrett, game director, on that new yeah, post. So yeah. I was like, oh shit.
They all ate him.
Yeah. Yeah. But like he made that, oh, well, the end game is the friends you make. And yeah, then like,
fuck
and,
you.
Yeah. And then that took on a life of its own with the hashtag friend game.
Yeah. I mean, they're not wrong to a degree. You get to network with people and meet, you know, like-minded individuals that you have fun gaming and raiding with.
Yeah, but you know what, though? When you don't have an actual end game, nobody plays the game.
That's true. Like, yeah, people fall off. Nobody plays.
So, like, they've been hemorrhaging players since release.
Also, they did alter the Eververse in a way where you used to be able to buy stuff from them and dissemble it, and you'd get, like, silver dust, right? You'd get this material so you could
get other forms of currency.
Other forms of currency, right? Well, they, in a patch, they got rid of that. So you didn't have a way to save that silver dust to buy new things in the store. You had to actually spend real money, and that really pissed people off because it was like another slap in the face.
You could get the currency. It just the for what the shit that you spend it on costs, it'll take you forever to get what you want.
Yeah.
So
it's unrealistic.
So like anyway, the last week or two of 2017, the Bungie forums were completely flooded by people making posts that said hashtag remove Eververse. They were flooded. You could scroll down entire pages, and that's every single topic is just hashtag remove Eververse.
Yeah.
And just like seeing that push, they came back after the new year. They said, well, okay, you know, well, every time they post something, they're like, oh, we're listening and we're collecting feedback and all that stuff. And they said, like, we realize that the scales are tipped too far towards Eververse.
I mean, because you couldn't even buy individual things from them. You had to buy the packages.
There's a random pool of shit you can buy for the Bright Dust. But like
no,
I said,
but I'm saying, like, if you want to pay, like, money for, like, emotes like you were able to in the past, or specific things, you couldn't do that. You couldn't buy
the original
specific
Eververse kiosk from Destiny 1.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you could not do that in Destiny 2. You could not buy silver dust to buy a specific emote or a specific skin.
Yeah, they're making it more like a fucking freemium game.
Yeah.
And it's terrible.
And it was infuriating because you had all this stuff and you're like, I can't buy that right now.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So they made this post the other day, so they caught everybody up on what they're doing and what they're adding modes, they're taking out you know, things from Eververse. They're taking items out and putting them back in the wild as reward items for stuff that you do out in the wild instead of having everything at Eververse. So here's the problem. All this stuff that they outlined is really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. Can I add one more thing really quick?
Yeah.
The one other thing that was in the game, Endgame in Destiny 1, was also finding hidden items like
collectibles,
like collectibles. You know, also, jeez, I'm blanking on the freaking the
dead ghosts,
the dead ghosts, and the freaking stones and the calcified fragments, and then the SIVA fragments and stuff. Yeah. So there were things that you could find that were hidden in the world that not only were attached to, like, grimoire cards and stuff and lore, but were, like...
No, but when you got them all...
it was a collectible thing.
Well, it wasn't just a collectible thing. They would unlock quests to get, like, uber-hidden weapons.
Yes.
And, like, and cool shit.
And to, like, make stronger, crazier things that were, like, definitely status symbols.
Destiny 2 has a couple of those things, but they're nowhere near as invasive because they've made this more for casuals now.
Yeah.
So they want everything to be easily accessible.
Filthy
so they
have a couple casuals. Of these...
Filthy casuals. But they've got a couple of these little crazy weapon quests or whatever, but they're very easily accessible and easy to get. So that's another thing that was sorely missing from Destiny 2. But the problem is, it's great that they're changing all this stuff now, but you look at, like, their target date to have all this stuff fixed is, like, fall 2018. So I saw, like, a Reddit post that summed it up perfectly. It's like, hey, kids, did you like Destiny 1? Well, in about 9 months, you'll love Destiny 2.
Because we're going to fix everything that we should have had when we launched it. Yeah, we're just going
to turn it back into Destiny 1, which should have been your starting point to begin with.
I don't play this game.
Yeah, well, I shit on it because I love it. I still play it regardless. I'm an idiot.
We both are.
Yeah.
But no argument here.
Yeah. But, no, once all this is fixed, because here's another thing. This came out, like, a couple of weeks ago. I hadn't heard this either. So I guess, you know, during Destiny 1's development, they had a big internal shakeup, and one of the co-founders left. I think it was Staten. I don't know which one of them. Staten or Jones, one of them left. And then, so they threw Destiny out, and they had, like, barely any time to whip it together. That's why vanilla Destiny 1 was so shitty.
Yeah, I remember that.
Or short. Yeah. And so I guess they did that with Destiny 2. They had like 9 months to rebuild everything that they threw out. And like, you did it again?
Like, yeah, they didn't learn from their mistake in Destiny 1.
Solid choice.
And they have so many benchmarks they got to meet with Activision to keep, to hang on to their
franchise.
To
keep the lights on?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, why do you do this?
I mean, there's literally nothing to do in the end game right now.
No, I mean, I hit my milestones. I'll log in and do my milestones.
But that's the thing. Online. You're gearing for nothing, and you're just doing it for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no purpose to it.
I'm getting my characters to 335, and then I'll
hang out.
Yeah, hang out. I guess we can play hide and seek in the tower some more.
That was fun. We turned off our HUDs. He saw that in a YouTube video. We picked a section of the tower, and you know, mile marks, so you can't go past this door, and I can't go past this door. Turn off our HUDs, boom, and then you go find each other. You go find someone. Someone hides. The person hiding keeps their HUD on so they can see if you're anywhere near them. You can give them clues
But the person seeking turns their HUD off,
and it makes it really fun.
If you're getting brave, we need to try that in EDZ.
Oh, God.
Try that on Earth.
That would be fun. That would be fun. You'd have to definitely set points.
Oh, yeah. Hold on, one area at a time.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Anyways.
I think the last... Destiny.
Yeah, the last thing on the list is what opened up today, and it's the Dragon Ball FighterZ open beta.
Yay. Very excited.
Very excited. I think we're all Dragon Ball Z fans, so it was very awesome to see that and download it immediately. And our first experience...
I didn't get to play a match.
I didn't get to play a match either. Dante, did you get to play a match?
I got to play a match. I got halfway into it, and then the connection failed, and yes. I was booted off. And I was playing on Xbox One X.
All right. Yeah, and I was on my PlayStation 4.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
It took me 30 minutes to get in the lobby.
Oh, my God. The disclaimers were terrible.
Oh,
I mean, scroll all the way down to get through the disclaimers are really rough.
Did you love my video?
and then the as soon as you get into it, the loading's god awful. And then once you actually get into it, though, man, they did a really good job with that lobby world.
Oh, they did a really gorgeous!
It's so pretty. Like, let's just take a minute. How goddamn pretty that game is! YouTube videos do not do it justice. They just don't.
No.
They really don't. Not on your home console in front of your TV, like, especially if you're playing in 4K and like all that, like, sweet Jesus. That game is beautiful.
It is absolutely gorgeous.
I stopped watching Dragon Ball Z after the Cell Saga. That was pretty much my end game for Dragon Ball, but I'm all in on buying this. Like, that's how damn fun to play and pretty game is.
Oh yeah, it was gorgeous. I did have one gripe with the servers.
Well, that'll all be. That's why they do betas.
No. Yeah. I mean the server names. Like they clump together Canada and the United States.
They're not clumped together.
It said Canada, East Coast, Canada, West Coast, United States.
You
East
keep
Coast.
Scrolling.
No. They're all saying the same thing. So.
I'm fine. Yeah. That stuff's all here or there with me. It doesn't bother me. None of that stuff really bugs me all that much, but. Like for anybody that doesn't know, the guys that make Guilty Gear is the development studio behind
Arc
us.
System Works.
Yeah.
Yep. So the that beautiful hand drawn animation and all that stuff, like those are the people that are making this game, and you can definitely hear it in the soundtrack. You can definitely hear it in the soundtrack too. Like it's all, you know, rock and metal and all that crap.
Well, everything is accurate too. The sounds of like fighting to like the special noises of the energy and stuff like that. Like, it's all there.
Yeah. If you didn't get to play the beta, I highly recommend checking it out. It's three versus three, tag style fighting. It's just one hell of a game.
Okay. Yeah. I agree. Game sounds amazing. As everything about it exudes Dragon Ball in 2.5D. It looks, I can't wait to buy it.
Definitely stoked for it.
Yeah. Network should be damned. I'm going to play story modes or whatever the hell they got till they get all those stuff in order. I'm going to play it all.
Sweet.
Yep.
All right. Let's move on to, Star Wars Last Jedi.
No. It's not true. It's impossible. No. This is probably going to be hard spoiler territory if for some reason you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, like month after it comes out.
Oh, shit, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, that's right.
Womp womp. But no, I've had enough of it ruined for me, so I'm more than okay talking about it.
Through the interwebs.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Reddit. But I will be seeing it in short order, before, so I can have a more concise opinion instead of just, you know, the shit I've seen and heard. But anyway, gentlemen, the ones that have seen it,
I liked it a lot. There are some areas of the film that really perturbed me, really bothered me. Dante, how did you like it overall, though?
I think it's a really good. Man, I went back and forth with this movie. I felt so bipolar about it. Like, I hated it, and then I loved it, and I hated it, and I loved it. It was really weird. My wife asked me as soon as we were done, like, did you like it? And I said, hell yeah, I loved it. And then the next morning, I looked at her and I said, I think I hate Star Wars. and she just rolls her eyes and goes like, oh cool. So I sat in that theater for 2.5 hours for you to hate the movie. Cool. And then just. You know,
it's like me with Prometheus.
Yeah, like you freaking dork, just walked away and made coffee.
I mean, we had good reasons to have it's a love and hate thing. I saw it a couple times now, and yeah, you're right. The main overarching pain factor point that I have is that all three movies weren't planned out to be together. They got the directors had full free reign to do what they wanted to do for each movie, so the arc wasn't fully tied together for certain facets, and that really bothered me. I hope that they do justice in the last movie and try to create some cohesion, because Disney did not want to factor that in,
which doesn't make any sense. That this being their crown jewel property. Like, yeah, I know the Marvel makes them a ton of money, and their movies make them a ton of money, but Star Wars is their blue chip, you know, play to win. Like, this is our win card right here.
Well, they know what they're doing with Marvel movies, so why can't they apply that to Star Wars since it's their biggest franchise?
I don't know. And you get Rian Johnson, who's not he's not a bad director by any means. For some reason, Kathleen Kennedy's stance is to, okay, well, let's hire this guy. He's done two
Wait, was movies. Wasn't the director a female?
What?
Wasn't the director a female for this?
No, it's Ryan Johnson.
Then what was that whole press stuff of all our writers or female Jedis or something like that they were doing?
I don't know. Maybe you're thinking of Ghostbusters.
No. That was a huge thing for this.
Well, anyway, they hire these directors that have, like, a film or two under their belt and let them do whatever the fuck they want with Star Wars?
Yeah, no.
Okay. Well, you know, whatever. There's stuff about the movie that I actually think is very cool, but I don't like how they handled certain things. Mary Poppins was weird. To having Leia Superman herself back up to the ship. I don't know. I mean, maybe it is a force power. It just seemed clunky and it just seemed really weird to me.
Yeah.
The handling of Luke. I'm hot and cold on. I feel like he did have a really cool badass moment near the end, but then again, all that press stuff for the past couple of months where like Mark Hamill's been, I don't know, not snide, but I mean he's been kind of subtly hinting that he's really not happy. And like there's been people have cut together some like golden YouTube videos of him just looking really upset and just saying he's like, this is not my Luke Skywalker, this is not what I wanted, this is not what I signed up for.
He was not, and he was very vocal
very vocal about it. And then like there's that shot of him giving Rian Johnson the side eye, like really really bad, and somebody caught it on camera,
like the Luigi side eye.
Oh man, like he just he looked at him like I'm trying to force choke this bitch.
Yeah, I thought his attitude fell out of place in the movie.
Yeah, they made him apologize because they're going to make him a Force ghost in 9 or whatever they want to do to make it up to the fan base. But it's the story needed to focus on your new characters, but just don't shit all over Luke to do it.
Yeah, he's a freaking legend.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he's also human. So, I mean, I can appreciate the angle that Rian Johnson's coming from.
Sure.
I just don't know how much I like the execution. But then again, I don't think I could do better.
we could have let Mark Hamill around.
Yeah, one of the biggest issues I had with the movie is the entire lead up of Force Awakens is to get to the point of, you know, Rey climbing that mountain, getting up into that archipelago.
Oh, and it was God. So emotional, and, like, you know,
handing him his lightsaber. His father's lightsaber, and he just grabs it and just flips it over his shoulder.
I was expecting
2.5
clown music.
He spent 2.5 hours building that scene up, and it's just this flippant toss.
Yeah,
goes into the story not being concise and planned.
It slapped me in my face.
Yeah, it hurt me in the childhood.
It did.
But no, but he's right though. That is very strange. Why would you, JJ spent all this time setting up all these things. And here's the thing. I don't give a shit that Rey doesn't have Force parents. Like she never,
that we know of.
She never needed to. That wasn't like a thing. I think he could totally have been lying. This may not be concrete. JJ has all the opportunity to come in and fix this now with 9, now that Trevorrow is out.
Yep.
The reason most people took it at face value anyway, and they were upset about it, because JJ set it up to be a mysterious thing like that. Like, why are you shooting these scenes that you're not showing the parents, and why was she left here? Everyone's like, oh, it's Luke's kid, and he hid her there from Kylo Ren, or like, you know, whatever the fuck. Even though she was like 6, and she's practically the same age as Kylo.
Why didn't JJ do this? I forgot.
Well, the thing is like, I don't think JJ had oversight on what Rian Johnson wanted to do. He pitched something to Kathleen Kennedy, and she was like, yeah, go ahead and do that. Yeah,
you mean, so like, they just dismissed JJ Abrams for this film?
What? No, he was never doing it. He just wanted to direct 7. they convinced him to do 9 after got rid of Trevorrow. Supposedly Trevorrow and Hamill were being very chummy and discussing ideas for Luke.
Well, he's actually a real fan.
And Disney, right, and Disney had kind of this already planned out because they didn't want Luke still around in 9 because they want their new characters to be focused on.
Just political.
Do you guys have any issue with Rey not having like a lineage? Because I don't.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't have any.
I don't have any qualms with that.
Any problem with it?
I like it because
you're not attached to Skywalkers doesn't mean like because there's the Old Republic. There were non-Skywalkers for thousands of years. Mace Windu was a badass. Obi-Wan Kenobi was probably one of the baddest Jedi in the world, and like he wasn't a Skywalker.
There are other Jedi lineages though that we're not we're not aware of, or that were in the books and comics and different things like that that she could be a part of, but we don't know, or she could be.
But you don't have to tie her to something.
No, you don't. You don't.
Yeah, no, I liked her being, like a standalone badass. She shouldn't have to stand on the shoulders of other Jedi.
Well, it's the whole thing with the Force.
Yeah,
it balances itself.
Yeah.
Right? So someone like this emerges when a dark force comes up, a light force comes up. You know, like, I mean, that's what's cool about it.
Sure. And they might, JJ might just decide to make her somebody and that Kylo lied to her. But that scene implied that she actually knows that. She knows that they were nobodies. She knows that they were.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
You know. So. For
sure. The other thing that really pissed me off, I guess, too, was all of a sudden, you know, Leia can survive in space.
Yeah, like, said the Mary Poppins thing.
Yeah, I didn't get that. Yeah, I was like, what the hell was that about? Mm-hmm. So,
doesn't sound like a traditional Force power.
Yeah, and I honestly think the whole casino world was a waste of time.
Well, it's not entirely. I think it's there for the overall theme. Well, just to make it darker, because everybody fails in this. Everybody fails and screws up. And
I guess I just mean like with Rose, like they could have sent like Chewbacca or something with him, because
you want to talk about wasted characters. Akbar gets sucked out the window when brand new purple hair Laura Dern gets to steal his moment.
Or how about this?
Isn't that his ship too?
Yeah, it is his ship.
Like, okay, all right, fine.
It was a trap.
Yeah.
But like, let's the casino world thing. Let's save the dog horses and leave the slave children there.
Yeah, the whole thing was just to give Finn something to do and to bring in Benicio del Toro. And
he was great. I love Benicio del Toro. But it was just funny that Rose was part of that whole culture, and yet she was just like, yeah, you're going to be cool, cool. You're going to be cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was overdone. I feel like they're wasting Boyega's character. They could do a lot more with him. The thing is like during the Force Awakens, he kept saying that he needs a pilot. Can you fly a ship? Can you fly a ship? Cause, like he needs a. I would have loved to see him, still, you know, be able to, you know, beat the shit out of Phasma, but I would have liked to see him like start doing like pilot training, actual like training. I would have liked to see him become an X-Wing pilot. It would have been a cool arc to have him like not being able to fly shit and always needed somebody to fly him somewhere, and then he gets in the cockpit of an X-wing and like Snap Wexley shows him how to bullseye womp rats and shit.
Yeah,
like that would have been cool. And then he still needed to have his battle with Phasma and stuff, which I wonder if they're gonna try and bring her back again and just kill her again.
Yeah, let's keep doing that.
Just kill her in every movie.
It'll be like Kenny in South Park.
Yeah, I think I think that's in an article. I think Rian Johnson actually said that.
Hey, she might have fallen on a piece of metal that she was able to force hold on to.
Yeah.
I like that her armor could deflect blasters, like, but none of the other guys could.
Yeah, well, it's chrome. Come on, it's reflective.
Well, her armor, I guess, is treated with the same stuff that they treat electro staffs with, because electro staffs can fight lightsabers.
Sure, but they're not going to put it on anybody else's armor, just hers.
Yes, because she's in charge.
Well, that shit's. Cortosis is, or whatever the fuck it's called. It's really expensive
and rare.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, they're not going to put it on every stormtrooper.
Yeah. Because their lives don't matter.
Pretty much.
Stormtroopers don't matter, man.
So, I mean, I guess overall,
start the hashtag.
I like the movie, but there were some things that just made it feel inconsistent and that I just didn't like.
Yoda.
Yeah, like he's got the power of electricity.
No, that's fine. He's a force god. He can do whatever the fuck he wants. Except, why is he talking to my man like he's doing that old hillbilly shtick from Dagobah?
Oh, yeah.
He was doing that to test Luke. Like, he was doing that to, like, you know, that's not actually what Yoda's like at all. And then he comes back to talk to Luke, and he's doing all that shit again. I'm like, what?
He's dead. He's bored.
He's regressing.
He's gone back into his hillbilly roots.
Because that was the last time whoever, you know, wrote that part saw Star Wars.
You didn't see anything else with Yoda in it?
No.
Like, that's not what he's like at all. But, okay. So, I mean, there were some problems. I don't think it's a terrible film. There's people starting petitions to, like, get it erased from continuity. No, there's some shit that's fucked up. It's kind of like when...
get over it. It's like, it was good. It's
like when everybody was all mad at JJ because, like, when Rey stepped out of the Millennium Falcon and Leia hugged her, like, hug the Wookiee. He just lost Han Solo. She's known him for like 8 minutes. You know, and everyone's all mad. And JJ's like, yeah, I fucked up.
Yeah, because they did fuck up. Because they did fuck up. She's known Chewie for 30 years. That's Han's been his boy for, you know, 30 years, all this crap, and then she just hugs Rey. Yeah. No, that's bullshit. It's bullshit.
Unbelievable.
At least he had a mea culpa, all right?
Oh, yeah. And then, but everybody backed the fuck off after he said it. He goes, I should have done that. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
and everyone just kind of left him alone. So I was like, good. Yeah. Good. Get off him. You know, that's a big undertaking. It's a big scary thing when you're in the director's seat of a Star Wars movie. He probably couldn't give two squirts of piss about Star Trek. But I mean, like, when he got the Star Wars job, he jumped ship. They're like, you going to direct this next Star Trek? He's like, fuck no.
Nope. Star Wars.
Star Wars just called, baby. But I mean, it is. It's a big undertaking. So it's like some of these directors, like, you know, they're going to make little mistakes here and there. And like the way internet culture is now, you get crucified for doing little shit
do it in a quick timeline, and everybody has time to digest and analyze and overanalyze everything. So like that's why that happens. I mean,
you know, and it's just stuff that falls through the cracks, and everybody gets all pissy pants about it. And it's, you know. Yeah,
I mean, honestly, they had in that, I know I keep bringing it up, but the space scene with Leia, that was a good way to let her go. Because she died in real life.
Right. Yeah, the one OT character they didn't kill is the one that passed away in real life.
Yeah, but so now they have to kill her again?
Well, there will be a time jump. There's going to be like a... They realized that was their moment, that they could just get rid of her that way.
Which they should have.
But they don't think that ending would have been befitting to her, especially because, out of respect, I mean, she passed away in real life. They're probably just going to have a funeral for her on camera in episode 9, because in the...
Like, open it off with that or something?
Yeah, they'll be like, because she was exposed to space and having to do all that, maybe, like, it did something to her, and then she ended up passing away peacefully later.
Or it was, like, 20 years later or something, or 15 years later.
They're not going to have that kind of a time skip. Who knows? These kids don't look 15 years older in 2 years.
Who knows? I don't know.
I do. I know that.
Well, they have to be clever about it.
Yeah, I hope. Well,
she got in a plane crash.
We'll see.
She got in a plane
with Harrison Ford.
Yeah, there you go. A shuttle crash.
Yeah.
I just hope they give her a little bit of a justice at the very beginning of the movie, and then we can move on. Like it should.
Or like a base, like she goes down saving like a whole crapload of people on a planet or something like that.
Sure.
More space horses.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Well, I think that pretty much covers us for this podcast, guys.
Sure. Because I don't want to start talking about Solo.
Nope.
We'll save that for next time.
All right. Well, all right. Take care, everyone. And until next time, see you later.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, or not.
All right.
Bye.
Yeah. Bye.
See you.